Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boost.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed a dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A college world series title. Come on, stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So we were talking about this proposed transfer rule a little bit in the first segment. Got a text in here from Brandon, said they should absolutely be allowed to transfer for any reason, plus to transfer for coaching changes. Teams change a lot in a year. Sometimes they shouldn't be stuck with changes they didn't create. So there's you got to look at it one way, you look at the other. There are some kids that are going to get to college, and they're going to be very successful and potentially may even play a little bit, crack the rotation their freshman year. There's other kids that get behind the depth chart. They're used to being the star of their high school, wherever they went, used to getting all the special treatment. They're not getting that, and they just feel like, oh, I need to transfer and stuff. Sometimes you just have to persevere and get through something. But sometimes so many obstacles get in your way, and like the coaching change that we mentioned with RJ, and I can't remember the offensive line or the defensive lineman that was shifted to offensive line in the first segment. I just want to know, Tommy, why do we hold coaches like Mel Tucker, for example, who was at Colorado for 1 year, now Michigan State, why do we hold them to a separate standard than we do the players?
Because they've been in the business 20 years and they're...
That's a cop-out, though.
No, that's not a cop-out. They've put their time in and they're far, much further along in where they're at in their career. It's, of course, a different set of standards. It's that way everywhere in life.
So what about, I mean, there's coaches all the time that like go from one job to one job to one job to one job. Like early on in their career, though.
Right.
Early on in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Early on in their career, just like young players.
It's not... I'm not saying the standards are right, but you're asking why they do it. This is why they do it. It's a job for them. It's what they have already went through college, got their degree, put in their time get to this point.
We're not in the...
So they're supposed to stay at a school...
Are you asking the players to?
No, I'm asking the players to say that they get this one-time transfer now, or that's what's proposed.
But you seem to be against it, right?
I think there's going to be unforeseen, just like we weren't thinking about a senior that had not redshirted sitting out and saying, you know, coach, I think I'm good. I'm not going to play this year. Mm-hmm. There are going to be loopholes on this thing we haven't even thought about that are going to affect the game, kind of like the Kelly Bryant situation. No, I don't think I'm going to play with the four-game rule. There's things on this we haven't even considered yet that are going to create massive headaches in the sport.
But at the end,
it's going to open up a wild, wild west. I fear of free agency recruiting within the sport.
And I think
I just think it has a little level of grime and dirt and just, I don't know. Sleaziness isn't the right word, but just it adds impurity to college sport.
Okay, that's done. If we think college football is pure in its current state, that's done and over with.
But this is another level. This is going a step further.
Why do you think that? Just because of the... Do you think there'll be more incentive to...
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be more... Not pay play. This is just more incentive for... So if you're Nick Saban and you're sitting at Alabama and you lose a guy because he has a career-ending injury, and now he calls up your running back at Arkansas who hadn't used his transfer, hey, we could use you at Alabama, and he still has his transfer, and he's academically eligible, not on disciplinary suspension, and he leaves and goes to Alabama, your best running back for no good reason, how are you going to feel about this rule then?
That's what I'm asking.
How do you feel about it?
You got to ask yourself, Tommy, are you looking at it from the perspective of Arkansas, or are you looking at it from the perspective of the student-athlete in the NCAA? Because there's two different ones.
I'm looking at it from a fan perspective.
Okay, that's fine, and I agree with you on that.
That's what I am. You know, I can't look at it from a student-athlete perspective, because I'm not.
Well, the NCAA is supposedly trying to look at it from that angle,
horse bleep.
Okay. I'm just telling you that's what they're trying to at least put out there and have that presentation.
But at the end of the day, this thing is fraught with a lot of perils that we haven't even considered that are possibilities.
That's fair. And I think from
just like the four-game redshirt rule came with all sorts of things. Well, we didn't think about that. When we voted this in, we didn't think a guy who had played 3 years without redshirting might come to his coaches and say, you know what? I'm not going to play in game five. In fact, coach, I'm not going to play the rest of my career here because I'm going to leave and go play my senior year somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't think about that scenario. So what scenarios are we not thinking about here?
I don't know, and I get and your perspective. I think is correct in saying this would probably hurt more than it would help Arkansas. But you have to look at it from two different perspectives. Are you doing what's best for the NCAA? And I get like we're in Arkansas. We're all across Arkansas doing Arkansas sports radio. If someone could find me a scenario, if someone could find me a pathway where this helps Arkansas rather than hurts it, by all means, call in right now 877-377-6963. I'm just coming from the perspective, Tommy, that if you're looking at it from the student-athlete and the entire NCAA, college football as a whole, this is beneficial for the student-athlete. I get that. But I completely, like, I am not disagreeing you at all when it pertains to just Arkansas, just the Arkansas football, basketball, and baseball program. I don't know. It's not really baseball. Baseball's going to be fine. But if you look more.
Not going to be very many that leave. Now, there will be some because they can't meet Dave Van Horn's standard.
And I would actually argue this would be better for the Arkansas basketball program because Musselman's track record right. when it comes to transfers. But in terms of the football program, because of how your current head coach, and I'm not saying Sam Pittman couldn't adjust. All I'm saying is what he's done to this point is shown that he's built relationships from the ground up rather than the quick fix, which Mus, I think, has shown the ability since arriving in Arkansas to do both with these high school kids he's got coming in. And some of the transfers he bought it. So he can adapt to both. I'm not saying that Pittman can adapt, but I am saying that his track record shows that he's a lot better with developmental relationships than he is just transfers and stuff like that.
I'm with you. I don't think this rule will be detrimental in any way for Arkansas baseball. I don't think it will be probably neutral at worst for basketball with your current coach. And what this is going to require is you better have good coaches. Now, you know, there will come a day Dave Van Horn's no longer your baseball coach. You may feel differently about all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, that day's coming. Hopefully it's a decade away, 15 years away. I don't think he's coaching anywhere else in the rest of his career. But there will be a day where he doesn't coach here anymore. We all understand that. But I'm going to tell you, this rule, coupled with the early signing period, coupled with it, has given Arkansas a lot of problems in rebuilding the program. We all get that, right? This rule gets enacted, plus it's going to cause problems for Arkansas football.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
A text here, Tommy, from Hong Kong Sui, talking about, and I don't know about this being the best for kids allowing free agency. Sometimes the best thing for kids to learn is how to fight through adversity. No one has to do that more anymore due to everyone getting the trophy in our society. And this, Hong Kong Sui, is where I bring up the fact that I am a millennial, but in a sense, I'm not a millennial. I get that line of thinking. I understand that. I just think, like you said, the coaches, like if you commit to a certain coach and he leaves, you should be allowed to leave, right? Is that fair?
What, did you commit to the coach or did you commit to the school?
See, people say they commit to the school, and I know like Arkansas kids inside the state, yes, to a certain extent, some of them have recommitted to Sam Pittman, but they're committed to the school. They're committed to the University of Arkansas. And you sign the waiver that says you're committed to the school, not the coach. In reality, though, you commit to the coach. Like, that's just how it is. Ask any...
It's a package deal is the reality.
But...
You're not going to go to a school you don't want to go to just because the coach is there. And you're not going to go to a school and play for a coach you don't want to play for.
What's the bigger deal,
though? It's got to be a combination.
What's the bigger deal? Who... That should be an easy answer.
I think it's the school to a degree because it's got to geographic... I mean, you still look back and, like, 90% of student-athletes commit to a school within 300 miles of home. So that's still something. It isn't all about coach, you know. It's got to be a fit of those two things. It's 50-50 or something. I don't know. I don't know what the breakdown is. It's not. And in which coach is it? Is it the head coach, the position coach, the coordinator? It's a combination of all of it. To say it's one is much larger than the other, I don't think is true. It's got to be the perfect blend of all of
them. Well, it's one over the other. I think if you ask most student athletes, if you want to say on the record, off the record, whatever, they would tell you they are more committed to their coach, whoever is recruiting him, the head coach or whoever, than the university.
So are we going to start letting students leave because the wide receiver coach gets another job, their position coach? Because how many of these kids commit to the position coach as much or more so than a head coach?
Well, where
do we draw the line here?
Okay, based on what I've heard from you this morning, you don't allow transfers whatsoever. So there has to be...
No. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, how far down this road are we going?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
We're going to play our freshman year at one school and our sophomore year at another school and it just play four schools in 4 years? Is that where we're going to be in 10 years?
So what do you think? Like, let's say they put you in charge. Let's say they put you in Mark Emmert's position. How would you go about this?
I don't have a problem in principle with the idea of a single transfer and that's it. Now, can we draw the line there? You get to transfer once and that's it.
So no longer grad transfer? Like, you can do what D. Telsila did where he transferred
It'd be a third school, perhaps, in your 5 years.
Well,
you only get 5 years to play.
Yeah.
You get 4 years to play five. So we're going to play at three schools in five seasons?
I'm asking you. So Silla would not, in your world, Silla would not be at the University of Arkansas right now.
That seems excessive to me to play at three schools in 5 years.
Okay.
Or three schools in perhaps 4 years.
So you would be okay.
Basically. I don't think it sounds fundamentally fair to penalize a guy who got his college degree that couldn't transfer, but it's going to be hard to be I'm going to tell you this. It'll be hard to be a graduate transfer if you've already transferred once before. I think that would be difficult to do, but we saw Jimmy Witt do it.
So Starkle would have to be.
Jimmy Witt's an example of a guy that did.
Yeah, Starkle would have to be here. Jimmy Witt would not be a Razorback. Gene Telsila would not be a Razorback. Those are just some examples that are popping in my mind at the moment.
They're the exception, not the rule. Would you agree? There's not a lot of those guys running around that have transferred once already and then were able to transfer again because they were graduates. That's just hard to do. I mean, I transferred schools in college once from the local school where I grew up to Arkansas Tech, and not every college credit transferred. I mean, and I don't know how it is today because I hadn't been in college in nearly 20 years. But that just in and of itself as a student, forget the athlete part, makes it difficult just to make sure all your credits transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that first transfer, it doesn't come without problems. And the other part of this proposal is you got to leave your current institution academically eligible. And not on disciplinary suspension of any kind.
The four stipulations, we'll go and go over these. You have to receive a transfer release from the previous school, leave the previous school academically eligible, what Tommy's talking about, maintain the academic progress at the new school, and then leave under no disciplinary suspension. So you can't get in trouble and then just say, oh, I'm done here. Yeah. Like, that's not going to work.
I guess here, and again, we see these proposals, we think about all the loopholes, but that's where I go is, how would I take advantage of a rule if I'm sitting in a position as a head coach? And I'm telling you right now, if I'm Nick Saban or I'm one of these top four or five, I'm Dabo Sweeney, I'm, you know, pick out whatever you think, I'm Lincoln Riley, you know, whoever you think are the top three, four, five, I'm Ryan Day, top four or five programs in college football, all right? And I, all of a sudden, due to an injury, due to a transfer, due to whatever, I have a real deficiency in my two deep. I'm going to start trying to pluck the best players in my conference or around the country off someone else's roster. And I just think as an Arkansas fan, that has a great deal of liability.
So would you be okay if it wasn't interconference? If they added that little tidbit in there to the rule.
Well, but I think that cuts the legs out of the whole reason why you want this thing. The whole reason this thing started is because you had guys like Nick Saban that were putting ridiculous restrictions on where someone could transfer to, even when you agreed to sit the year before they opened all of this up. Why did we get to where we're at? We got here because coaches said, well, you can't go to any school in our conference or any school that's on our schedule or any school that, you know, basically can't go anywhere you want to go.
Okay.
And that's how we got to where we're at. And that's why we came up with the rule, no, student athletes can go anywhere they want.
Okay.
And coaches don't have to sign off on it anymore.
So you've put out a lot of the things that could happen, that might happen and stuff. And I'm like genuinely asking you, what would you do if you're Mark Emmert? Would you keep it the same, or right. how would you change it when it comes to those five sports?
First of all, Mark Emmert won't decide. It will be the schools yeah. that vote, so let's remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I was casting a vote as a school, I think the pressure will be too great. This is going to pass in some form. This is going to move forward. Like the 95% chance in some form, there may be some variations. The thing I'd like to see to this, and I don't know how you even regulate this, how you police it, is some kind of like no tampering clause. One school's not allowed to call an athlete at another school. I don't know how you regulate that.
I think that's still in place.
But making that clear cut.
Okay. You know? I believe, because that, I don't know if they call it tampering, because that's more of an NBA or NFL
yeah,
term. But
a professional sports term.
I believe you're not allowed to text
but,
a kid that's already.
But you got a kid on your roster that played high school football with the kid over here. Hey, text your, you know, hey, John, text Tim, who's over here, and have him call.
And you just think that would be, because that happens still today. We can't act like that doesn't, but you just think it would be more prevalent if you know they went this way.
I just think it opens up another opportunity and loophole for a lot of things. That one thing I'm mentioning here is coaches plucking players off rosters to fill needs on their current roster. What was one of the other reasons we changed some of these rules a few years ago, just a few short seasons ago? Because coaches were trying to find ways to basically purge the players off their roster they didn't want anymore, right? This whole idea that your scholarship was year to year, they didn't like that either, right? Well, this kind of didn't open that back up, but, you know, if the coach can go to the kid at the end of the year, hey, you don't have to sit to go elsewhere. We really think you need to go play elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You're not going to play here. Do you hear me? You're not going to play here. You need to transfer. That's how they get rid of, you know, because we want to get rid of these seven kids and bring in seven more from some other source. And that was one of the reasons why we changed some of the rules, is the coaches weren't purging kids off the roster just because they didn't turn out to be the kind of player they wanted.
877-377-6963 is the number. Call or text in. Ryan is in Van Buren. Ryan, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. Hey, you know, weighing in on this thing with this transfer, you ask how it would benefit Arkansas. And I mean, I can understand losing like a Rakeem Boyd in a situation, but even if we had that rule now, would Connor Vanover be on the basketball court? Probably so. But on the flip side, with that tampering, there's got to be a penalty there for those schools to prevent them from doing it. I mean, if a Nick Saban, somebody in his organization, tampers with a player and they can prove it, well, take scholarships away. Take stuff away. Make that penalty there to where it discourages that, and, you know, because how many players that are in Pittman's class that might not be able to be there, you know, as transfers if we just totally close it down? We've got to have that ability, you know, but that's just kind of where I'm at. But that no tampering, make the penalty steep. And that's all I got, fellas.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, you can't.
The problem is proving all. You know, you're exactly right, but how do you prove all?
You got text.
Yeah, but you think the kids are going to necessarily turn that stuff over?
Well, it depends on if Saban uses a burner phone or not. But that's
you got to remember they don't have subpoena power at the NCAA.
That's a big issue on that. So, and Ryan brings up a good point. We also have to think about from a sole Arkansas perspective. Like if you're looking at your fans' lens, this would I think in Dave Van Horn's case. Baseball, and again, you brought up the fact he's not going to be there forever, but where your baseball is in his current state right now, this rule's great, because everyone, like, even kids that, like, get really good at another school, they're like, man, I want to spend my senior year playing for Arkansas, competing for a national championship. Well, basketball, must has the track record when it comes to recruiting kids that are transfers. This helps in basketball, but your money maker, your big dog, football,
yep.
Where the football program is right now, and I'm not going to say that Sam Pittman can't get it back to a place where they're at least relevant in the SEC West, but where you are right now, if you do have a good player or whatever, there's a chance that he could be picked off the team.
Yeah.
It's like you're the better players. You trying to build back up a football program in the SEC West, in the toughest division, the toughest conference in college football, the addition to this rule could hurt you in the fact that when you're trying to build your program up, all of a sudden two or three of your best players come off the roster because they don't want to just try and get the program back up. They want to compete for a national championship. They want to compete and go to try and go to the college football playoffs. So that makes it that much more difficult. Would that happen 100%? I don't know, but I at least get your perspective on why you might think that would happen.
This probably doesn't affect an in-state kid that played high school football in Arkansas, a kid that grew up in this state, someone that grew up their whole life wanting to be a Razorback. This probably doesn't affect a kid like that. This is the kid that came from Texas, that played near Tyler or played in, you know, somewhere in East Texas, that comes to Arkansas, and is a pretty good player. Now all of a sudden A&M would love to have his services. Hey, we'll give you an oil well. We'll give your granddaddy an oil well if you'll come play football at A&M, you know. And these things, you know, all of a sudden, magically, they're back closer to home and granddaddy's got an oil well, you know.
Text here out of the 501, Tommy's saying, you're having your boomer moment. We need to face
Sounds
the fact.
Sounds like something my 10-year-old would say.
We need to face the fact that college sports is being treated as the semi-pro league for professional levels. I'm not saying these kids need to get paid, but they do have the mobility to go where they can concede. And you brought up the fact that the coaches were in this league as a business. In reality, this is a business for the players as well. Now, I don't want to get into the pain aspect of this right now because I don't want to go on that diatribe. But if you're going to say it's about the coaches, one of the excuses you're saying, well, the coaches is a business. It's just as much a business for the players, even though they want to call it student-athletes today.
The players have a limited window. They get 5 years to play four, and you don't want to, you know, you mess around and screw up more than about two of those years, your opportunity to play for money is very limited. But, you know, again, the percentages of players that actually go play in the NFL is still very, very small. So we're making a rule that affects 100%. Professionally, how many? What's the percentage? It's like less than 5% of players
small.
Go to play the NFL. Now, you mentioned this is semi-pro football. Let's think about it. Now there is semi-pro football, right? It's actually a little more than semi-pro. XFL, and they don't have the restrictions. I think this is another interesting thing. The XFL didn't have the restrictions on you got to be out of high school 3 years to enter their draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see some players that would be college football players. They might go play in the XFL at some point rather than college football. That'd be a great risk, particularly if that league doesn't survive, and then you'd be kind of stuck holding the bag. But I think you'll see a player at some point leave college early to go play in the XFL with the hopes of getting to the NFL.
So, you know, minor league baseball, the farm system, that's what they call it.
Yep.
Rick in Murphy, Texas, brings up, and he's talking about something Trey Biddy wrote, that the unintended consequences, like top 10 programs, would just use smaller schools. And I don't know if Arkansas falls in this category, but as a farm system, mm-hmm. when someone gets really good, they come calling. So I get that. And again, you either look at it from the student-athlete perspective or the Arkansas football lens. The Arkansas football lens tells you that this would probably be a rule that would hurt and hinder the Razorbacks rather than help.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the only lens I'm looking at. Players are going to come and go. The football program that we love, that we'll die for, is going to be here forever. That's what we are so sick and tired of 2-win seasons, 4-win seasons. We are so sick and tired of being everybody's doormat. We don't need another rule that's going to make it harder to get back to relevancy. And we all thought this early signing period was going to be a wonderful deal. It's been a real pain in the you-know-what for Arkansas, because it starts out at the time you bring Chad Morris in. We've had two lost classes as a result.
Well, that's not necessarily.
That early signing period has been a thorn in the side of Arkansas.
That's because you had a terrible coach who didn't know what he was doing.
No, it's been because you've transitioned with two different coaches with this early signing period, and you've lost classes as a result because you were down to, what, 8 commitments when Sam Pittman arrived on campus? 3 commitments?
I thought it was 3. Maybe.
Whatever it was.
Too many. I mean, but that's the only reason you're saying that, Tommy, is because you've transitioned coaches. You don't necessarily know if that will help or hurt Sam Pittman moving forward, that. I get that. Because
we haven't seen a coach last long enough during this era of early signing period to know. We just know that it's a hell of a deal to be changing coaches in today's era of college football. If you're one of the mid to lower tier programs in your conference, it's a hard thing to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's a consideration for an AD and a chancellor. Well, do we want to pull the trigger on this guy, or do we want to do it like Mississippi State did? We'll just wait till after the bowl game with Joe Moorhead. You know, we'll just do it then, after everybody signed.
I'm trying to go back through my mind and remember if Sam Pittman has spoken to, if he likes or doesn't like the early signing period.
We asked him here on the show whenever he was on a month ago or whatever, and you know, it raised the level of difficulty. There's no question.
But is that just difficulty for him in Arkansas, or is it difficulty across the board?
Well, I mean, do you care about across the board? I just care about Arkansas.
Well, you can either have it hurt Arkansas a little bit and hurt other teams a lot, or hurts Arkansas a lot and hurts other teams a lot.
Well, I think it helps the big and mighty. I think it helps the Alabamas and the LSUs, because it also helps Arkansas in this way. But it hurts because it takes all the best players off the board, and now you can't touch them. You had a new coach on the job this year, been here days. And then the best players are gone 10 days later or whatever, 12 days later. Can't touch them. 80% of college football signees are gone. But at least it lets you know the 20 or 25% that remain of who's you don't waste any time on these other guys that are committed somewhere else that you probably won't get anyway. Okay. It lets you know where you stand with everybody. That's the one good side effect of the early signing period is if you come in a situation like Sam Pittman did this year, you're not wasting time on kids that signed an early commitment, because you know there ain't no sense in wasting time on him. He's signed with LSU.
And I think just because you don't like something doesn't mean you can't be successful in it. Like, I don't necessarily like waking up at 4:20 in the morning, but that doesn't mean we can't have a successful sports radio talk show. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. I know that you've been doing this a lot longer and it's just accustomed to you. I
don't mean I like it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That just because you don't like something doesn't mean you can't be successful in it. And when you brought up the early signing period, I know we've been talking about football, but if you look at the basketball side of things, your four guys that you're bringing this 2020 class, three of them hadn't signed yet. And I know that they're locked in. All you ever hear about Arkansas from Moses Moody, Jalen Williams, and K.K. Robinson. But until you see that pen to paper, until you see these guys sign those national signing letters, until you get those in, regardless of what they say,
you don't rest easy.
Guarantee you that Eric Musselman is excited about these kids supposedly coming to the Hill. There's always that bleak thought in the back of his mind. What happens if something just out of the blue comes out of there and something? And that's what the early signing period does. You got one guy in Devontae Davis who's early signed during an early signing period. Does that necessarily mean that the football team, when Sam Pittman has a full recruiting cycle, is going to be able to get all his guys in the early starting period? I don't know, and again, it makes it more difficult, but you at least lock those guys down. And hopefully, we won't have a coaching transition period sometime in the next couple of years where that kills a recruiting class like it has the last 2 years.
Lack of stability is, and this new proposal we're talking about this morning would be just another penalty, if you will. And then if you have another transition in any program, there's the likelihood of mass exodus would be far more likely, right? You can transfer with basically no penalty as long as you're eligible and in good standing. I mean, what would the roster look like at Arkansas? Let's just say this rule had been in place a year ago. 6 months ago, whatever, before Chad Morris was fired. What would Sam Pittman's roster look like when players could just basically, without penalty, move to another school before they even knew who the next head coach was going to be?
I don't remember who brought this up when Mike Norvell decided he was going to take the job at Florida State. What would have happened if he just brought his 10 best Memphis players with him? Because, again, I'm under the impression you kind of think different, but I think it's coach above school. And so if I'm right, which I don't know if I am or not, it's going to be hard to determine that, then those players will follow coaches. That's what happens in recruiting classes. There were SMU kids that were committed to SMU that followed Chad Morris to Arkansas. So that's also something to think about.
You know what it is above coach and school? Playing time.
Yeah, I'd probably say that's up there. Playing time's a big issue, and that's what did Chad Morris talk about when he was recruiting kids here. What did we recruit? What was the heaviest hitter that we used in our arsenal?
Availability.
Playing time.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tight roll back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Welcome in the man, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Richard, good morning, man. How are we on this Thursday?
Doing well, buddy. Doing well.
First question fired off from Bill in Fayetteville, Richard, is asking about Ebony Jackson. I know with the addition of Xavier Kelly, he's no longer going to be part of the equation. Can you update on the status and kind of what transpired with Ebony Jackson, Richard?
Well, I mean, obviously he was still committed to him after signing day. They just wanted to see how he did during the spring semester, and if things went well, you know, they could possibly take him. Right now, like you said, with Xavier Kelly, that takes care of the 25 for the 2020 class, and right now you'd probably lean towards, if there's any chance of Ebony coming on, it would probably be if Arkansas wanted to go forward, it would let him. He'd probably have to just set out next fall, the first semester, and come in as a 2021 guy.
Do you think this proposed rule that the NCAA has put out when it comes to one-time transfers, Richard, do you think it would hurt and have more harm or help Arkansas when it comes to the football program?
Well, I tell you what, it's a tough one. It really is. Some people make some good points that, some kids at Alabama or Georgia or whatever that are sitting on the bench and they're a little impatient, which, you know, that is something that kids are nowadays, definitely, but they look elsewhere and just, you know, look to transfer, and, you know, a school like Arkansas could, you know, snatch them up. I get that, but at the same time, it can come back and bite you too. So it's going to be an interesting situation. How it all pans out, I don't know. All I know is that last year, that about 12 to 1,300 kids transferred in basketball. Yeah, and that is, you know, most of them sitting out a year. What happens if, you know, this passes through? Does it double or triple? And I think that's very possible, because there were kids this year, even before the season started, entered the portal, which is mind-boggling to me. But, I understand that they're trying to make the NCAA is trying to make it more friendly towards the athletes, but at the same time, I just don't know if this is the right direction.
You know, that's the thing. The four game red shirt rule they put in a couple of years ago, they weren't even thinking about loopholes like we saw with Kelly Bryant. Hey, by game four, I think I'm not going to play my senior year. I'm going to transfer. There are certain loopholes that we haven't even thought of yet. Certain ways this rule could be used, and you think you're putting a rule in place to benefit everyone, and then you realize we've opened up and created this whole other possibility here that we hadn't even thought of yet. And those are the things I think that make coaches and administrators nervous, is what Pandora's boxes are we opening here that we hadn't even thought of, Richard?
No, you're right, Tommy. I agree with you. I mean, it's the same thing with allowing the athletes to benefit, off of their name, their likeness, or whatever. I think the NCAA is going into some areas that we really don't know what the outcome is going to be, and I just tend to think if you allow kids to transfer one time, I mean, even the basketball guys, there were several of them going on their second and third school within a, you know, about a 2-3 year period. So I don't know. I don't know. We truly don't know all the things that you're talking about that could possibly come true. You know, things that we don't know that are thinking about.
Right. I mean, but you think about a player like Connor Vanover who would be eligible to play and to benefit from playing this year to help the team. You think about maybe the outcome of some of these razor-thin games that Arkansas has lost by a handful of points. A player like Connor Vanover who didn't get the waiver while other players in similar situations with the NCAA did. You think, well, there's not equity or fairness in the current setup, so we just let everyone have a one-year transfer. Well, what about then a Jimmy Witt who is we still allow graduate transfers? You know, guy that's back to Arkansas and is technically third school in his five seasons. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things to think through, but I think it also allows for some fairness by just saying, all right, everybody gets one ace, if you will, one ace card up their sleeve.
No, you're exactly right, and I get that. You look at Connor and you look at some of the guys that did get waivers, and you're just scratching your head. I think the NCAA is trying to get out of that. And try to get out of the controversy of when they do give waivers and when they don't give waivers and haven't tried to, you know, explain that. We're definitely going in some uncharted territory, and I guess probably 2 or 3 years we'll kind of have a better idea of how it all pans out. And I'm sure they'll probably try to tweak things as things go along, but like you said, with the four-game redshirt rule, I mean, I don't think they had any clue that you know, kids would start utilizing that in the way that they are.
Recruiting expert Richard Davenport with us on the Morning Rush. Richard, this comes from Pablo in Kansas City. He's asking if the Hogs reoffered Landon Jackson, the Texas five-star.
No, and as far as I know, they have not just yet. I noticed that he's setting up two official visits to Texas and Texas A&M. So, you know, I'm sure that I'm sure that they know about him and that they'll get on him fairly quickly. I really don't have a good answer on that.
So, Richard, with the transfers that they brought in with Xavier Kelly, Felipe Franks, Levi Draper, Reed. I think there's one of the kicker from Duke, and I think there's one other guy that I might be mentioning. Looking, and I know you don't cover recruiting nationally, but as far as that stacks up to other colleges, not only the SEC, but across college football, that has to be pretty high up there, right? The caliber of guys they were able to recruit, bring in, but just from other schools.
No, I would tend to think it's one of the better graduate halls in the country. I mean, let's face it, Arkansas needed a quarterback. They got one. They got a proven SEC quarterback. They brought in and now we don't know how Xavier Kelly's going to be because he didn't really play a lot at Clemson, but you obviously had one of the better defensive lines the last few years at Clemson. So you could see where a guy that maybe had the ability to see the field just didn't see the field as much as that, you know, as he could maybe say at Arkansas or someplace like that. And then I think with the kicker, A.J. Reed, I mean, he was very successful at Duke. Good timing there. You needed a good corner, and everything that you hear about Jerry Jacobs is that he was a very, very solid corner at Arkansas State. So I think they probably did as well or better than anybody in the country as far as graduate transfers.
Yeah. Richard, we were debating earlier during the show whether kids commit to coaches or kids commit to schools, and we know there's obviously some that do both, but you talk to these kids, and we were talking about it from this transfer rule perspective. What do you think the percentage is? If you had to tab it, what percentage commit to a coach and what percentage commit to a school? Which way do you think it is?
I think the majority of it is the coaches. Now, because you develop those relationships over a year or two, and that's why you have so many kids get upset when a coach leaves or for their position coach leaves. Then you have kids that go to school, say LSU, because of, say, if you're a defensive back, what they've done with defensive backs over the years is probably on par with anybody in the country. So a lot of times kids will go to a school that produces professional athletes at their particular position. So, but I would say definitely the relationships with the coaches is probably number one.
Richard, before we let you go, man, is there any other football updates? Is there any other basketball update, a big-time baseball that you think that the listeners of ESPN Arkansas should know about?
Well, I mean, obviously this is a dead period for football, and then the first weekend that they're going to have kids for unofficial visits is March 7th. You already have some kids saying that they plan to visit on March 7th, so that's going to be the next big recruiting weekend for football. For basketball, really just waiting for April the 15th, spring signing period, and sign the three unsigned kids that are committed to them. But really nothing really big right now.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, also Whole Hog Sports, our recruiting expert on a Recruiting Thursday. Richard, as always, appreciate you carving out some time for us, man, and we'll speak to you next week.
All right, Todd. Take care, buddy. We'll see you.
Later, buddy. Go ahead.
All right, so Richard Davenport, yeah. Brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun. In-ground pools, semi-in-ground pools start at less than $10,000 right now. So if you've always dreamed of an in-ground pool in your backyard or having a pool in your backyard, but you don't want to break the bank, they've got options for you right now at Burton Pools and Spas. You can get semi-in-ground pools for under $10,000. Stop in and see the award-winning team that can design your backyard, design your pool. Then the award-winning teams that come out and construct it will impress you so much. So Springdale and Fort Smith are the places to go. That's Burton Pools and Spas on Zero Street in Fort Smith and just off I-49 at the 412 exit in Springdale. Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun.
So when we went through the hiring process together and you were debating on if you were going to hire me or not, would you believe me if I told you that I picked you? And not the company.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. I will say that some previous employees that worked here spoke very highly of you and spoke great things about you. So I don't know if I was the ultimate reason. I say I decided, but you basically decided if my employment was going to be granted here or not.
But it was your begging and groveling that won you the job.
It was the arts too. Wade sold me over there. But I will say that you did have a big impact coming there, because I have had some employers in the past that weren't up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can parallel that to the coaching in a sense. And I'm not going to say I won the argument, because the recruiting expert that we have on every
Thursday.
That's
why you're bringing this up, is you want to gloat that you think have won an argument.
Listen, I don't win many arguments here, because every time I'm winning an argument, you thread my job, which we just don't. By the way, that's a complete joke if you guys didn't pick up on that. We, like, for example, me and Matt and everyone else here tried to unionize, and Tommy just nipped that in the bud right away. And I'm, again, another joke. Don't take this to
again one day.
Yeah, don't take us. Who you report that to if like someone doesn't grant a union or whatever? By the way, that is complete fabrication. I'm completely kidding about that.
Someone out there with the AFL-CIO, something or another, is filing paperwork as we speak.
I actually like my job, and there's not there. Well, I say there's nothing I really wouldn't change, but nothing to note.
Put that on a DFR form.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the reason I brought that up is because Richard said that. So I wanted to play. But that, I mean, that is a good point. So I think with Arkansas, there's a difference, Tommy. With Arkansas kids, and this isn't for everyone, most Arkansas kids that want to go to Arkansas, they don't really care who the coach is. They just want to be a Razorback. Now, some coaches are really good recruiters. They really know how to bring kids in. They can bring the homegrown aspect. They can bring the sit and talk with family stuff. They're just good at that. Some coaches aren't necessarily, that's not their strength, and yet these kids still end up in Arkansas, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball. Baseball, you haven't had a problem with that, obviously, because you've had two tremendous coaches. Basketball, some cases you've had good coaches, some cases you hadn't. Football the same way, but you haven't had really any good coaches lately. I think it also depends on the situation, also depends on the kid. I just think a kid in-state is a lot more likely to commit to the school being he's growing up around the University of Arkansas than a kid out of state who I think would be more likely to commit to the coach.
And about where do half of Arkansas's recruits come from?
In state, right?
Right. And I said about half of them commit to the school, right?
Yeah, something like we're going back.
I think you just made my argument.
We're going back to what Richard said. That Richard agreed with me.
It's a blend of all of it. I mean,
no, I know
you would never go to play for a coach at a school you hated, nor would you play for a school with a coach you hated. It's got to all be there. I mean, we're splitting frog hairs here.
I think it was Bubba. I think,
but we do know this. There is no doubt that most kids, not all, but a vast majority of kids. Go to a school, select a school within 300 or so miles of where they played high school football.
And that's why it's important, and this is why Rick Jones leaving for Missouri is, I don't know, necessarily call it detrimental. What did you compare it to? Nick Saban leaving the West?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Rick Jones leaving high school football for the 6A and for that conference, now this doesn't apply to every school. I mean, this doesn't affect you if you're a 2 or 3 or 4A school or even – particularly, and I guess it does to a degree, the 7A schools because they play some non-conference games. But for that conference and that school, this is every bit, maybe even bigger. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was in 11 state championship games in 16 years.
Trust me, I know the bad end of that, Tom.
Right. That's Saban-esque numbers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is every bit. This is the day that we all dream about that Saban retires from Alabama. Now we could maybe win the West. Some of these schools that can't jump in there that aren't LSU or Auburn, maybe we can jump in there. Well, I guarantee you there's schools in that league that now think maybe we can jump in there.
I've been on the
just as big a deal.
I've been on the worst end of two of the best high school coaches in the state, Kevin Kelly at Pulaski Academy and Rick Jones at Greenwood in the revenge game. Revenge game that took place in 2007 when we pasted them at home like 44-7 and they just whooped us in the state championship. And then last year...
You went to Little Rock Christian, for those that don't know.
Correct. And then last year, or 2 years ago, Little Rock Christian won a state championship against PA with Justice Hill doing what he did, and then they just creamed us in the state championship this past year, even though we beat them in the regular season. So revenge games are not fun, but the point I was originally going back to is the fact that Rick Jones being as good of a high school coach in this state, and I love Arkansas high school football. I've been on the record saying that. I hadn't been to a game in a while, but I enjoyed watching it growing up and stuff, but it's just not the same level of caliber. And so what makes good players at SEC schools? Arkansas high school football is not the same level of SECs, like in those states.
All of them? I mean, Tennessee football isn't great.
It's better. I mean, it's better than every single state by capita, recruiting.
I mean, they may have more numbers, but I couldn't go with it. Tennessee high school football isn't...
It's a lot better than it used to be, and it's better in Arkansas. Look at the numbers.
I don't know.
I mean, the numbers show that.
And the other thing to remember, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying Arkansas is on par with Texas or Georgia or Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not sitting here having that argument. But, I mean, I don't know that it's the worst in the league. I wouldn't go there.
I mean, you could ask.
Kentucky?
I wish you could ask Richard. It's worse than Kentucky.
Write that down for next week, Matt.
There's 13 players that are NFL players from Kentucky, and that's not justifying.
Are you looking at 1 year, or are you looking over the long haul?
I don't know. As of late, that's how it's been. Most of the athletes inside the state are playing basketball. That's why the basketball talent has been so flourishing lately. But, I mean, that hurts to say coming out. I don't wish that was the case, but that's the case.
I don't think over the long haul, though, that's the way it is.
And
it
that's
has been lately.
But it has been lately.
I'm going to tell you, there's some other states that, now, obviously, Georgia and Texas and Florida are the three best states in the conference footprint for putting out talent.
Yeah.
I don't think Arkansas is last on the list.
You can also, I mean, it depends on, like, what are you asking? What are you looking at?
Number of recruits that the state produces. Number of Division I Power 5, FBS.
Are we talking? Okay.
Power 5. Commitments do you have coming out of your state?
Well, so as far as 4 and 5 stars are, I looked this up last year. Arkansas is the last in that.
Well, maybe in 1 year, yes. But, I mean, I'm not looking at just in a one-year perspective.
It depends on if you looked over the past 20 years, you looked over the past 5. Arkansas football is just down relative to where it's high school-wise it's been.
Yeah.
When you think about certain schools that used to be powerhouses, it's just not the case anymore.
This is something on BannerSociety.com, and it's the 50 states and D.C. ranked by the 2020 blue chip recruits. Obviously, you said Florida and Texas. Florida's number one with 59, Texas at 54. You brought up Tennessee. They had 11, and Arkansas has 2.
Yeah. I mean, what a good year this year. I'm saying over the long
Let's
haul.
See. You got the kid.
State of Kentucky.
I think Terry Wells is the kid out of Wynn that's just jumped in 24/7, top 300. You have Dre Norwood out of Fort Smith Northside. That's a top 250 kid. He plays either quarterback or safety. So there's a couple still coming up, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We put it up against any other seltzer out there.